Okay, praise the Lord. So we're going to continue with the good fight. And our enemy, the devil, is also a thief that does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. Mm-hmm. However, Jesus has come that we may have life and have it more abundantly, according to John 10:10. And in order to win a successful battle, we need to know that God is in the details. Knowing that fact helps us to fight the enemy so we can overcome and have an abundant life. So he knows what you need before you even ask. Yeah. He knows every hair on our head. Some of us still have a lot now than we had before, but he still knows. Okay? Yes. And when you fight the good fight of faith, we went through this Sunday, 1 Timothy 6:12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. And we know that that definition is fighting like contending with your adversary. So a lot of times Christians are like, well, I need help in this area, God, and they expect God to do the whole thing. No, Jesus paid the price. We're partnershipping with him. There we go. And we've got to do our share as partners, right? Okay, so we have to fight the enemy. Although Jesus defeated them, we know the outcome. We know the end. But there's still daily battles we have to fight. So you have to every day have that mindset. I'm contending today because we're not on vacation on planet Earth. We were born on the battlefield. It's not our choice, but we have to know how to be equipped. Okay? And a good fight is something that's excellent. You are excellent and you're an excellent warrior. And you are fighting that good fight of faith, which is greater than Olympiad. You are a super conqueror in Christ Jesus. And when you have that fight of faith, that faith means that you have the conviction that God's word will stand regardless what it looks like. When you lay hold, it is to seize heaven and its resources for you right now. It's yours. Take it. Use it. Amen. To lay hold on eternal life, that means everything that is eternal, which is not seen, is yours. You can use it for God's glory on this earth, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Amen? Amen. Our eternal life began the day each of us accepted Jesus, according to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And number two, the day each of us received Jesus, we entered into the army of God. 2 Timothy 2:4, for no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of life or civilian life, that he may please him, God, who enlisted him or us as soldiers. And three, God is in the details to tell us how to do it his way, not our own way. Isaiah 55:8-9. Anytime we've had any problems in our life, you know why? We didn't do it his way, probably. We thought we were, but now we have to regroup and find out what we did wrong. We have to analyze. Most people don't analyze and strategize. But when you're in a battle, you have to study your enemy and you have to study what was done to win battles. And maybe the battle's changing and you can't do it the same way you did it in the past. That's why you have to consult with the Holy Spirit, and he has to be the one that's leading you for what's going on now. Okay. And so if God is in the details to tell us how to do it, then Isaiah 55:8-9 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways, or God's ways, higher than your ways, and my thoughts, God's thoughts, higher than your thoughts. Why don't we say, God, what is your thought on this matter? Like, duh. Let's just ask him, right? He actually will tell you if we sit and listen. We have to learn how to be listeners. We have to learn to, when we pray, then you sit and expect the answer. Just sit and wait on God. Worship Him. Because He inhabits the what? Praises of His people. So then as you praise Him, then you wait. And He will start to speak to your thoughts. He will start to give you the ideas. Sit with a book, a pen or pencil, and write down any visions that you get, any thoughts, any pictures, any senses, any feelings. And ask the Holy Spirit, is this You speaking to me? And many times He might give you a scripture, or He will give you paragraphs, or in Pastor Joshua's cases, books of information that's still going on, and we're trying to get those books out of him. Okay, we want more, Pastor Joshua. And so, number four, the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, is an acronym meaning your basic instructions before leaving Earth. We sure need that, right? And we need a lot more instructions. And number five, quality is in the details. Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, whatever things are just, pure, whatever things are lovely, good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Let's change it. Talk about these things. Don't talk about what you see. Don't complain about what's been going on. Praise God for what He's already done. Amen. Praise God for what He's going to be doing, even if you don't see it done yet. Amen?
Amen.
The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in Me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So be led always by the peace of God. The fight is now. We're on B. Marines are always fighting or training to fight. We must always fight the devil to get what belongs to us. In Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So don't be fighting people. Mm. Know that it's a demon that's attacking them and through them is causing a challenge. Why are you wasting your time? Just say something gracious and good to them. Go do warfare in your prayer closet, in your, you know, in your house privately, whatever. Don't have to battle this way. You see what I mean? Okay? Pray for those people. Help them. If you see a challenge in their life, pray that God would help them overcome it. They need intercession. We're not all perfect. I hope people pray for me all the time. And if I make a mistake, y'all better be praying more. Okay? I need the help. So spiritual warfare, number three, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, Ephesians 6, 11 through 20. So let's go 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that it exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So Pastor Joshua says to us, every thought, 25,000 a day, how many of them am I consecrating to God? How many of those thoughts am I analyzing? Where'd they come from? God, me, or the devil seeming like God? 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, Amplified. For though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God. For the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. If you have challenges in your life, it is still a stronghold. Overthrow. That means take it over. I look at it like this. I throw a coat over my shoulder and under the couch and out the door if I don't want it. Throw it away. Get rid of it. You have the power. Don't let it overcome you. It's a lie. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Whatever you're facing is not greater than Jesus in you. Amen. Okay? Inasmuch we refute, we're on verse 5, arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. How many thoughts run amok in our mind? Assumptions? Didn't even ask a question if that person was thinking that or not. We need to bring into captivity those thoughts. How do we do that? Holy Spirit, is this of you or not? Simple. We just don't ask. Most of us. Or as often as we should. Okay? Ephesians 6, 11 through 20. Put on the whole armor of God. Not just part of it. And every time you get hit by the devil with a challenge, you took off your armor or opened it up so you were vulnerable. So let's button it up, okay? Keep it on, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore girded about your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Why is that important? Because if you are not led by the Spirit of God in your feet, you will be walking the wrong road. And above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Those aren't just little tiny darts. It's not, you know the bubbles that you blow out of something. No, that they're big old rocks with a cloth around it, soaked in oil and set on fire to pummel the enemy's shields. The devil does not play fair. And you take the helmet of salvation, remembering who you are in Christ. Remembering that you're saved. Let's act saved. Let's talk saved. Let's try to work things through. Okay? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me and you, that I and you may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which we are ambassadors. During worship, I saw an angel of God with a sword of fire. And he was cutting this way and that way. And I saw that people had snares and entanglements, and he was cutting them away. If you had some challenges and some habits or something you couldn't break or something that kept trying to come back at you, it has been cut off in the Spirit today in Jesus' name. Amen. God has done it for you today. Amen. There is an alignment in the Spirit that God is doing something new, and he needed to cut you free to help you out. And your praise stilled the avenger. And your worship was like sweet incense unto God. And he received it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Number 5, do not forsake the assembly of the brethren, especially the last days approaching. You better be coming to learn in as much as you can. This church is on the cutting edge. I've gone to many churches worldwide. I've never seen the kind of teaching that comes out of this place, getting us ready with the new revelation, a fresh revelation of telling us what's going to happen. And the people out there may not be ready, but we are going to be ready. We are ready. We are able. We are willing. And the Lord is going to lead us and not forsake us. Amen?
Amen.
And the engrafted word of God sets us free. What does that mean? James 1:21, it means you are so melded with the word, you look like him. Mm. When demons see you, they run away in terror because they see Jesus in you. The best soldiers are those who learn and practice. You know, I learned something when I was young. I didn't get it. I thought practice made perfect. And my piano teacher says, no, practice just means you keep doing the same thing over and over. That was the wrong note, Karen. You practiced it wrong. Oh, man. So then I had to practice it right. So she said, watch me. Learn what I do. Listen. Dissonance is not what this is about. It is the third key above. Listen to the harmony. Play it that way. So if your finger slips, if it doesn't slip, you know, it sounds better. Okay, I got it. Be properly trained soldiers. 2 Timothy 2, 4, 3, 16, and 17. Amplified. 2 Timothy 2, 4. No soldier, when in service, gets entangled in the enterprises of civilian life. His aim is to satisfy and please the one that enlisted him. Are we pleasing God every day, or are we doing our own thing? Do we get up and say, God, what do you want me to do for you, for your kingdom today? Or are we just getting up and setting our own plans? In the end times, you better do his plans so you don't end up in the wrong place at the wrong time. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, Amplified, every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable or beneficial or fruitful for instruction. It's not there for a suggestion. We got to do the word, or it's not going to work for us. For reproof, which is correction and conviction of sin. So, Lord, help me to be aware of sins I don't know I'm doing. Let's ask him that on a regular basis. And help me to stop sinning. Help me to stop missing the mark. That's what sin means. In archery, that's where it started from. They wanted to get the bullseye, and every time they didn't get the bullseye, it was called a sin. They missed. I want to be on the mark. I want to be where God wants me to be, doing what God wants me to do with such accuracy so that I will be able to advance his kingdom further and further and get more and more powerful so the demons will run even faster away from me. Sprinting, like, hello, get out, you know. Okay, the correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living. Much of the church has no clue what that means. We have to ask God to teach us how to be holy in his way, in conformity to God's will, in his thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well-equipped for every good work. Number 9, we should not build on house or sand, but on the rock. Matthew 7, 24 to 25. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. If there is a mudslide, you aren't going anywhere, because you are grounded way down deep in the rock of your salvation, Jesus Christ. 10, be a hearer and doer of the word, James 1, 22 to 25. You know, you cannot be like one who looks in the mirror and says, I forgot what I look like, right? You have to keep remembering and focusing on Jesus. And when you focus on him, you'll remember that he's a doer. So what you heard, you're going to imitate him as you follow him and not do it your way. Amen?
Amen.
Number 11, our weapon is the word of God, which is the sword of the spirit. Hebrews 4, 12. And we're not using that word to cut away at what the enemy is doing in our lives. We're not doing what we should be doing, is piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, is a discerner. A discerner means realize, understand, and have revelation of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we got to cut away in our heart with the word of God what is carnal, because we just want to have it, a heart after God. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Things that are not operating well in your life, it's a possibility that you spoke negativity over yourself. And now we have to say these words. In the name of Jesus, I cancel, make null and void, and wash those negative words away with the blood of Jesus that does not line up with the word of God. In the name of Jesus, I speak the word of God into my life over this situation. Go find a promise of God and keep affirming it over and over and over, thanking God for it, even though you don't see it. Because as you thank God for it, you are calling those things that are not as though they weren't. It becomes it. Okay? It creates it from the invisible into the visible. Isaiah 43:18, the battle focus is on the now. Don't wait till later because you might miss your opportunity. Too many people lag behind and procrastinate, and they miss the opportunity of what God is doing right now. And focus on the present, not the past, because you cannot drive your car forward by looking in the rearview mirror. C, promotion. John Wooden, UCLA head basketball coach, and he's a Hall of Famer, said that failing to prepare is preparing to fail. You've got to be ready. Number two, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, besides Mark 11:24, and now we're having other favorite verses for Revelation. We are overcomers. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance, it's something you can tangibly grab, of things hoped for, because what you hope for, you desired, and faith brought it to you, for the evidence of things not seen. It's the title deed to God's promises, is our faith. And here's the amplified version. Now faith is the assurance and the confirmation of the end title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. But you got to know it's yours. You got to know that you know that you know that you know, and no one's taken it from you. And you're confessing it and acting as if you already have it, because you do. And when you do, it manifests into the reality. Sometimes you got to move out before you see the manifestation. You hold back, it's not happening. A step of faith. You need to step out. You need to do what God says to do. Go for it. Four, God is the God of now. 2 Corinthians 6:2. In an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. God didn't say, I'm going to help you. I have helped you. So why are you asking? Can you please, maybe you will help me? If you don't think he's already helped you, you're not going to get out of that hole. Do you get it? You got to see it's already a done deal. Otherwise, you're already defeated. Because you'll be waiting around for him to do something he already did. He gave you the word. You proclaim it. You do it. You act on it. It's yours. Number five, it's impossible to please God without faith. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Number six, forget the past as we look forward, except to encourage ourselves. Because of the past victories, which become the anchors to your soul. I love this. Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. This is so important, so important. Forgetting those things which are behind. Do not rehearse what someone did to you before. Do not think about it again. Do not talk about it again. Do not think it's going to, you know, they're going to do it again and over and over and over, because then what you fear will come upon you. And as you speak it and you say that they're going to do it, they will do it again, because you just told them in the spirit realm to do it again. So stop it and it'll stop. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The devil is the accuser of the brethren, and he's going to keep accusing, 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 although it only happened one time. If it keeps happening in your mind, you are still going to be affected by it, and you'll still be offended over and over every time you receive it, because the pain in the emotion will come again in your soul realm, because you're dwelling on the sin and the past of what the person did. So you're soul tied negatively to that person, because you won't release them, you won't forgive them, and put it in the sea of forgetfulness, and then it stumbles you. That's why it's imperative you release it and let go. Then you're not stuck to them anymore. Who wants to be stuck to that?
Okay.
Be done with it. Amen. Then you'll be at peace and can move on. Confess it as sin. I don't want to remember this anymore. Another thought comes, and you remember what they did, and then you get mad. Confess it as sin. then pretty soon that devil's going to get tired and he's not going to bother you anymore. He's going to bother somebody else. And then you'll be at peace. Don't let him keep knocking in the door of your mind. Okay, where are we? So I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. 1 Samuel 36:30. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. When you get discouraged, you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. No one else is going to do it. You got to do it for yourself. And believe me, the devil will make sure you get discouraged, depressed, disillusioned, all the D words like the devil. But God is good.
Yes, he is.
And God is going to get us out of every challenge when we praise him with a good fight.
Amen.
The good fight.
Amen.
Fight off those thoughts that are ungodly. Hebrews 6:19, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. What? What did God do for you before and you had victory? Remember those things. Don't look at the big mountain that's in front of you now and say, oh, how am I going to climb that and get over that? Well, God got you through a lot of other things before.
Amen.
He's going to get you through this again. If you think you've already been on top of the mountain, overcome it, and on the other side, you'll get there real quick. If you think, oh, my goodness gracious, I don't know if I can get through that and feel overwhelmed and stressed out, the devil just got escaped from under your feet and got on top of your head.
Mm.
And he's messing with your head. He's messing with your thoughts. And you have to recognize that and say, I'm not going to let him do that to me anymore. Look at the strategies of warfare. Don't let him do it anymore. For by grace are we saved through faith, number 7, Ephesians 2:8, and Romans 4:16-4:24. It is so important to go through these scriptures if I can't get through all of these with you. 8, speaking from our mouth and believe it is faith. John 17:8 and Mark 11:24. When you speak it, you have to believe it when you pray it and believe that you receive them. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. John 17:8 says, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Number 9, don't kick back and take it easy after a victory. Keep pressing forward and proving ourselves. So, see, he keeps saying, don't look back, press forward. Why? When you look back, it is a weight on you. It's like you got to cut that weight off so you'll be released to move into the next arena where your blessings are. And then get stronger, because as you fight the devils in this arena and overcome them, then because there's bigger demons out there, when they come to you, you know you can face them. But if you can't overcome the ones that you're facing now, there's no way you can fight the bigger ones.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Some of you have Chihuahua faith.
Mm-hmm.
We got to grow you to Bulldog faith. German Shepherd faith, and then the big St. Bernard faith, right? Okay, and what's the one after that one? I don't know, there's so many big dogs out there. But you have to be, you know, bigger and better than the devil in your faith, because Jesus is already bigger. Don't look at yourself as a little weakling. Okay? So don't kick back after a victory. That's how a lot of the enemy get defeated. They have a celebration after they win a citadel, and then they get all like partying and drunk and whatever, and then the enemy just waits to take back the city when they're all like weak and can wipe them out easy. We always have to be vigilant, okay? So here's a quiz. I know you love quizzes. Where does the word say the following? Remember, the devil's also always giving you tests. Are you passing them or not? So we might as well learn how to see what the answer is and work on it, right? Mm-hmm. So number one, we can have what we say. Is that true or not?
Yes.
Mark 11:23 says, "For assuredly I say to you," in the King James, "whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he or she says will be done, he will have whatever he says." You think that's always good. If you're saying something negative, the negative will also happen. You ever heard a mother say, "I told you so"? Well, sometimes that mother may not realize that she might be saying, "If you go out in the rain, you'll get wet and catch a cold." And then the kid comes home with a cold. "I told you so." Well, if she said, "You're going to go out in the rain, but not catch a cold," the kid wouldn't have caught a cold. Okay, number three, we can have what we desire. True or false?
True.
Mark 11:24, King James. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Okay, what's the prayer of faith? It's according to Mark 11:24. Okay, when the scripture says you shall have them, when them meets the following three conditions. So you must, number one, desire them, then what? Pray for them, then what? Believe that you receive them at the time when you prayed it. Okay? Now, everything you do before approaching a holy God, you have to confess your sins, according to 1 John 1:9. And then, in order to pray the prayer of faith, who are you praying to? Your heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Do you pray silent or aloud?
Aloud.
Ask a whole bunch of times?
Once.
Why? Because he doesn't have Alzheimer's and he's not deaf. Once you ask, it's a done deal with him, okay? Number five, believe that you receive when you ask, and you have to have it reflected in your what?
Actions.
Words and actions, okay? You got to speak it out and do it. Be a hearer and doer, okay? And then number six, keep thanking God with affirmations until there's what? A manifestation, until you could see that what you have been thanking God for actually is then tangible. Number seven, and after the manifestation, do what? After the test, give a
testimony
telling someone what God did for you, and that's your faith. Sample prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for the challenge in that person's shoulder. They're praying over it. I believe that Jesus died for my healing. Therefore, I'm asking you, Father, that my shoulder be healed of all pain and stiffness. I thank you, Father, that my shoulder has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. If you say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you will one day heal my shoulder. Is it going to be healed?
No. One day.
One day. Like when?
Not today.
Let's get it today. Let's get it right now. Okay. I'm not going to wait. All right. Number five. It is okay to doubt in our mind. Yes or no?
No.
Mark 11:23 says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his what?
Mind.
Heart.
You can't doubt in your heart. But believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." A lot of people, the devil will come and bring doubts to your minds. That's not going to work. Well, I'm going to say the word of God anyway, because the word of God works. So in the name of Jesus, my shoulder has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And the shoulder is still paining and hurting, and the mind says, is it really healed? And you go, I don't care what it feels like. In the name of Jesus, my shoulder has already been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And you know, because they're starting to believe it in their heart, because the word comes, the faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And they're believing it in their heart. And you know, they get healed, even though they were kind of being attacked up here, but it finally got in their heart. But if you doubt, if you stay in doubt, faith went out. It has to be faith. So you have to grow in your faith. You grow your faith so it gets in your heart, becomes heart faith, and then you've received it. Okay? So, it's really not okay to doubt in your mind. You can't doubt in your heart either. But you can allow your mind to go through some catching up with your heart. E, faith without works is dead. James 2:14-18. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked or destitute or daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith. Without your works, I will show you my faith by my works. So you have to have fruit showing that your faith is operating. Okay, so we're going to go to the next section. E number one. Christians should always be up or getting up. And number two, meaning if the devil kicked you down, just get up. If you fall off a horse, you're supposed to get back on the horse. Because if you don't, how are you going to get back to the ranch? Walking? Okay, two, believing for something done in our mind only is mental assent. Romans 10:9-10. You have to have knowledge of God's word, and you can't hope it'll work for you. It has to be faith, knowing that you believe. Because Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you got to believe in your heart, and you have to confess it with your mouth, and so it shows what's in your heart. So when you hear what's coming out of your mouth, if it's doubt and unbelief, what's in your heart? So we have to then feed ourselves and renew our minds with the word of God to wash that out, okay? And the word has to become engrafted into our hearts to be one. So it means we need to spend more time studying the word. Number three, speaking the word of God, believing it in our heart, and works and action is faith. And four, act as if we truly believe it. Even though you're not for sure, just do it anyway, because you're doing what God told you. And then pretty soon you'll get it. So you have to just be in your mind, seeing yourself the way God told you in the word that you are. Even though in the natural, you may still have pain or challenges in the shoulder. You got to just act like that shoulder is healed and drive, wash dishes, comb your hair. Remember when I was trying to train my hair to the other side? And so it's really hard sometimes to comb your hair, your arms up here. You got to just, and then pretty soon the devil looks at you and go, your arm's supposed to be injured. How come you're using it? Because I've been healed. So get out of here. Mm-hmm. And the devil goes bug someone else, right? Okay, so six, faith and actions work together. And F, choose affirmations wisely. An affirmation, what is that? It's not a prayer. It's a declaration. So in the Amplified of Romans 10:9-10, it says that, verse 10, for with the heart a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified and declared righteous. You are declared righteous. Mm-hmm. And with the mouth you confess and declare openly and speak out your faith and confirm your salvation. So we have to declare what God's word says. And two, an affirmation is not in the future. It's in the present, or something that you are declaring that God has already done for you, whether or not the devil is trying to tell you it's not happening. Number three, God is in the details, and the devil imitates God. You don't think the devil is going to come to you with all these little tiny thoughts trying to erode your faith and the word of God? And then if you take the bait, then all of a sudden you've canceled your prayers if you speak out those doubts. If someone says, you know what, if Jane Doe says that her shoulder is hurting so bad that she thinks it's re-injured. What did she just do to herself? She just received a re-injury. It wasn't even re-injured, but now it is because she said it. That's what happens. Even if it looks broken, if you say, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, I command my body to line up with the word of God, all of a sudden things line up and supernaturally you receive the power of God. 4, death and life is in the power of your tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So if there's some things in your life you don't like, change it by changing your words. Affirm God's word over that and make it what God says it should be. 5, if words of death are spoken, what's going to come? Death. 6, if words of life are spoken, what will be yours? Life. So, Pastor Joshua says people who talk a lot, they have more chances to sin. So let's try to be people of fewer words. Okay, we're working on that with Pastor Joshua. Okay, 7, our affirmations are our words that guide our life. So if you want to change the course that you're on, change your words. Build your faith up in that area. Recommendation. God pays attention to the details. Therefore, we also need to pay attention to the details of living for Him. What new step do you need to take to move closer to God as you fight the good fight of faith? Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know what? God says, you are not the tail, you are the head. You are above and you are not beneath. What does God say about the circumstances when there is confusion? He says, you have the mind of Christ. What does God say when there is no way? He says, I'll make a way for you. What does God say when there's fire? He says, walk through it, I'll be with you. What does God say when it can't be done? He says, all things are possible to them who believe. Yes. And so, therefore, we have seen a change in the spirit through this time. Through this season, and God is using you to make a change. And I want to see that there are testimonies in this church greater than ever before, because God said that He had cut away, He helped you out tonight with an angel, with a fiery sword. And I see that there are people that have been set free from many snares in the name of Jesus. God has called the end from the beginning. God has said that you are prosperous and that you are successful. And anybody that told you you're a failure, that was a lie from the pit of hell, because God says that you are victorious, that you are a super conqueror, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And so there's no devil in hell that could keep you down. And you put him back under your feet in the name of Jesus. Amen? So you keep fighting the good fight of faith, because God is with you, and your word is the two-edged sword if it's the word of God that you're speaking and confessing. I don't want to say my words anymore. I just want to say God's word. I want my words to be aligned with His words, and I haven't quite gotten there yet, but Holy Spirit, help us to fight the good fight, seeing ourselves as the good warriors in Christ Jesus, and we're no longer going to let the devil defeat us any longer. We put him under our feet and we cut off his feet. He is defeated. And so we are not going to let him walk all over us. We're going to walk on him and we're just going to say, Lord God, we thank you that you are light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. We thank you that we have the victory. We thank you as we praise you. The avenger has been stilled and stopped, and that you inhabit the praises of a people. So Lord, I'm your people. So come in my house, inhabit my praises and speak to me and give me your word so that I can hear your voice clearly and follow you, and I will not listen to any other voices, because you're going to help me recognize the demons when they try to be good thoughts but they're not, and I'm going to discern, because I'm asking you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in my life and the fruit of the Spirit, because I want to be That disciple taught of the Lord, great is my peace and undisturbed composure, a manifested son and daughter of God, an overcomer with Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, that I see myself serving God through the millennium in the courts of our God forever and ever, and our family with us. I declare it in Jesus' name that they will make it with us. And I don't know how, but the angels of God are going to minister and send the right laborers in the field and help me to become victorious and have everything that I need so that I can usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ, and so can you, in Jesus' name, fighting the good fight of faith. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.